Tonight, we're going to talk about change your mind, change your future. We're going to talk about the transformed life. And so, our topic is on the renewing of the mind. So change your mind, change your life. That's our title of our message tonight. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, if you all turn to Romans chapter 12, and go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm going to read that in the Good News Bible. And so we're going to talk about change your mind, change your life. And so I've been praying about what I should minister and when I should minister. And tonight I thought it might be an opportunity for me to come in and talk a little bit about what's been on my heart. And you know, you want to give a message that's timely, something that people need in the hour. So it's good to have a word in season. I believe this is going to be a word in season. I thought about another subject, but I was just pulled towards this message today, and I took a few hours this afternoon and looked at it even more perfectly. So it's not the first time I taught this, but it's going to be the first time I taught this one in its entirety. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I'm reading the King James Bible. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want to read you from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And know sometimes the word heart in the Old Testament is translated, or the word heart is both can refer to the spirit of man or the mind of man. And so you have to read the context and understand the substance of what you're reading. So I believe this is the very context of what this man is talking about here by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 4:23, the Good News translation. It says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So our main idea tonight is change your thought life, and you can change your life. And so let's go ahead and read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, the Roman Christians. You know, in Rome, they were being challenged by the thinking of the day and a different thought from God's. Of course, they didn't all have God's word back then like we do today. But they had thoughts that was, you know, imposed on them by the society they were living in. And so we are no different from them, because in the society we live in, or the neighborhood, or the place we live in, we can be shaped by its thoughts and ways of the world. So let's go ahead and read this with that thought in mind. He said, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, after you're born again, there's something you have to do with your body, and that is the intentions and the fleshly desires of your body. You need to do something about it. So you need to take reins on your body's impulses, your body's desires, and you can't just do anything your body wants to do, because it loves to taste things that are maybe sinful, and you have to be able to control that. The only way you can know that is by going to the Word of God and making that determination by, you know, exacting yourself on what the Word of God says. So it says, a living sacrifice, your body's a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The next verse says, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. I want you to think about this word, conform to this world. Be not conformed to this world. That's what we're talking about. You're not going to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this is another thought, renewing your mind. And here's something else you have to do. Bible says here, Paul, by the Spirit of God speaking, he says that you do something, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, you do something about your body. You know, your body has certain appetites that might not be godly, and you might want to overdo certain things, you know, maybe overeat. You know, we have to do a lot of things. Sometimes we can look at somebody who smokes and say, oh, look at that guy smoking, but what about the guy who overeats? We don't think about that sin, you know, in the same light as we do another sin. So you can sin more ways than you think. So overeating and just chomping at the bit at the table can also be a big problem. I remember one time Brother Higgins said that God told him to go and correct a brother who was overeating. And God told him that if he didn't stop taking care of his appetite, he would die. And that was one of three things he told him. And he was extremely overweight, and he wouldn't control his appetites. And I don't know if I'm talking to somebody tonight. I could be talking to you. God might be telling you to control. And maybe you've had the habit of looking down on somebody else's sin. But there are more ways we can sin than that. And you know, we categorize sins and different things. So in other words, you have to do something with your body. And secondly, he says that be ye transformed by the renewing of mind. In other words, you have to do something with your mind. Your mind is a part of your, different from your body. Your body is your physical self, where your spirit lives inside. And your mind is the part between the spirit and the body. And your mind contains your thinking, your imaginations, your will, because your decision part of your thinking. So you have to do something with that, and that is to conform it to the Word of God. And that is, you take your mind, your thinking, and you make it think the way God wants you to think, so that you can know what the word of, what the will of God is. Notice he says here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what about that renewing of your mind? He goes on to say, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it is when we begin to do these two things, that is, think about learning how to control your body's appetites and controlling your body's ways of wanting to live, and also thinking, learning to think right. You know, when we think right, we usually feel a whole lot better when we change our attitudes. So it's when we change our mind, we change the way we feel, and then when we feel better, we make better, we our actions come out in a more positive venture. And so let us introduce this a little bit more and ask us some questions. Is it possible to change the way we are right now? Is it possible to really change? You know, that's a hard question for some people, but some people might not be at one time because at their time into life, because they've made some changes. But you know, you're never finished ever making changes. Just because you went through one threshold of change, it was a difficult thing. But there's another threshold you have to go through in order for you to get to another level or another place in life and the things of God, where you can enjoy more of the things of God. And so the Bible says, it's possible, or is it possible to change your life? And that's a question that I have for you tonight, and God tells you in His Word, is it possible to change the way you are right now? Your position in life, your stature, your different things that's going on. Can you change your situation that you find yourself in at this time of your life? You know, I don't know. This is pandemic time. There's a whole lot of things going on in people's lives than what you could actually see. There's turmoil in people's minds. There's frustration. There's anger. There's a whole lot of opinions. The as you can see, the world, the situation in the body of Christ, even in the church, there's a whole lot of animosity going on because people are not siding with someone because they have a certain way of thinking and so on. I have brothers and ministers in the Lord who think a whole lot different than I think about the vaccine, about taking medication to protect themselves, and you know, doing church a certain way on television, or not having no television, or having a bunch of people in church. And there's a whole pile of things going on, and we find ourselves in different ways. And so, you know, it's not our job to go on policing everyone. Our job is to listen to Holy Spirit and to follow the Word of God, what He says. So The Bible says you can be transformed by God's word or God's ways and be conformed to this world. So it's possible to change your future. It's possible to change your future, no matter what shape you find yourself in today. So we can change the past. We can't change our past, but we can sure change our future. We have something to do the way we embrace the future and the way we are going to be living in 5 years from now. And think about this. In 5 years from now, 2 years from now, if Jesus doesn't come back, what is your life going to look like? How will you feel? What kind of blessings are you going to be enjoying? And will you be more of the same, or are you going to digress or progress? So the Bible says it's possible to change, because we just finished reading two Bible verses here. It's possible. So change is possible right now. It's available. How can we change then our lives would be the next thing. Well, we can change by the renewing of our mind through God's word. And you can know the will of God. You can know the word of God and the will of God right now. You can follow what God's word says. Let's go here, read Romans 12:2 again. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So you need to learn how to, you can prove the word of God. You can prove the word of God by looking to God's word. You can change your life by looking to the word of God. You can change different things that's going on. So many are wondering what the will of God is, and they shouldn't be wondering what the will of God is if they renew their mind. So they shouldn't be having a hard time following the will of God. And God has done all he can to make sure that we have his will within our reach. So what is the biggest problem with finding the will of God and changing our lives? Well, the problem is the unrenewed mind. And if we're going to think our old ways of thinking, our old thoughts, and if we're going to feel the way we feel about our future, about people, about situations, it's because we haven't changed our thought life. And so God makes that possible for us through changing our minds, to changing the way we think. So the problem is the unrenewed mind. So it means, change means, or our future can be changed. It means that we have to change our ideas and our thought lives on a day-to-day basis. Maybe sometimes you have to minute by minute, moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour. We have to change the way we think and begin to think about what we're thinking about. Change them from the way the world wants us to think, and change them to be conformed to the will and the peripheral matters in which God wants us to think. So Romans 12:2, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So you can change your life by being transformed, and you can change the way you think. Your mind out of the will of God. It's only be done through transforming it through the word of God. Now you can pray in light with God's word, and things can happen. But it's through putting the word of God in your mind and changing your thoughts that your life will change. So put your mind in the thoughts and patterns of God's thinking. Think about what God thinks about us. Think about God's will on every matter of your life, so you can discern what God wants you to do and where God wants you to be. You don't have to be confused about anything in life. You know, I was talking to a brother today about there's some people that are Christians who are actually all excited about you know, this could be the end of the world, and they're afraid that it's going to be the end of the world. They're afraid the devil's going to show up any minute. What's he going to do? Well, we shouldn't be afraid of the devil, for one thing. We shouldn't be afraid of the end of the world. We shouldn't be afraid of Jesus coming back. None of those things. Hallelujah. You can have peace in your mind, peace in your heart, no matter what happens. If you understand the word of God, the will of God, you're not going to be afraid of one thing. God will make everything possible for you to be protected, and he does protect his own people. He will not allow evil to come upon you if you stay within the realms of the will of God, the word of God. So don't be conformed to this world. The Bible tells us, Romans 12:2, let's read the World English Bible. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and well-pleasing, perfect will of God. So there seems to be a peer pressure in this world, to want you to be conformed the way everybody else is thinking, the way everybody else is feeling, what everybody else is doing, and what everybody else thinks about the future or the past. So we don't have to be pressured by this world and its system, because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, helping us, strengthening us, leading us, guiding us, and we have the Word of God to change our minds about different things. So there's a peer pressure in this life where everybody else is not really transformed by the Word of God. They're just outside of the will of God. So we can be either transformed through people's opinions, people's words, people's thoughts, people's feelings, people's intentions, and the decisions they make. They want you to follow them. We can be conformed by social pressures through listening to different television personalities and singers and people that are up there that the world worships as idols. And we can be changed by we can be changed by social media, and all your friends on your friends list are thinking a certain way, and if you start to read their, you know, whatever they put on their Facebook or their, you know, Instagram, whatever they got, then they choose certain things, and you can read their, if you read their, you know, their gallery or whatever they got there, and their pictures, and you find out what their world is like, what they're thinking about. And we can get sucked into that and pull into that, maybe through fear, or they drag you into anger, or they drag you into violently speaking out against the government, or thinking about how bad and selfish Christians are for having services, or whatever it is, or getting mad at another church or a group of people that choose a certain thing. And so, as long as we live within the realms of the laws of the land, they can do whatever they want. But even on a more narrow perspective, we need to stay within the realms of the will and the Word of God. And so we do that by reading the Word and listening to our spirits and watching what we do. So we don't have to have any social pressure. Just turn the TV off. Get rid of some of your friends on your Facebook. And just delete them. Delete all of them and have me on there all the time. He can do whatever you want to do. So children, I hear, kids are being sucked in. They're feeling pressured. And I've had some people, pastors, friends, families who say, you know, their children are being really, they can't sleep because they're just so bothered by what people are thinking about, how many likes they've had and how many not likes they didn't have, or somebody didn't respond to their, you know, to their whatever they put on Facebook. Well, listen, everybody has a choice whether to like your pictures or not. And just because they're friends doesn't mean they have to like everything you put on there. And so don't be jealous if somebody else has, you know, more likes than you, and maybe they're more conformed to this world. I don't know. But just don't be bothered by it. And so the Bible's telling us that we need to learn how to take care of ourselves and not be so worked up. You know, the other morning I was waking up, I was thinking about all this stuff going on. You know, you begin to think on certain things, watch certain programs, and you think about that in your mind sometimes when you wake up. So You know, your thoughts can lead to a better life. And that's what we're talking about. So whose thoughts are you thinking? God's thoughts comes from his word. Satan's thoughts comes from his word. So humanity, people, human beings, are changed either through Satan's thoughts or God's thoughts. Satan, in the beginning of time, changed Adam and Eve's thoughts to be conformed to what, you know, they became to be. And so in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, that's a wicked, I mean, that's really extreme. If someone is thinking negative all the time, I don't know. Don't be surprised if some of your friends are negative all the time. And they're just rotten. You can smell them almost. Their thoughts can be really bad. I know, you know. I remember when I was a kid, there was one person that he's always complaining. You know, if you don't think like him, you don't want to think like him, then he'll want to beat you up. And so he says the every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. So let us ask us the question, what is a thought? What is a thought? Have you ever considered this question or what defines the word thoughts? Or what is a characteristic of a thought? What makes up a thought? How do you define it? How do you explain it? What is the meaning of a thought? We can be certain that thoughts aren't something material. They aren't physical like this table and like the things we see around here. Thoughts are not, materialistic things, material things, physical things. So we can be sure and certain that thoughts aren't that, but thoughts are spiritual. They're spiritual in nature. The book of Romans speaks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And it doesn't give us another category or a third category saying, thoughts are like this. So we either focus on our minds on natural things or spiritual things. Thoughts are natural, are not natural or physical in nature. Thoughts are either, somebody says thoughts is it either material or spiritual? The Bible explains about thoughts that all thoughts are spiritual in nature and their character. They're not something physical that comes around. You see it floating by. Okay, that's a thought. We'll let that go by. But no, thoughts are spiritual. Now, let's go look at here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. In Genesis chapter 2, 7, the Bible says the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living person. Now, thoughts, the thoughts that you have are not meaningless. They're not insignificant. The thoughts that you have right now are either came from God or they came from Satan. And you didn't create your own thoughts, although you can be creative with whatever you have before you from the sources that have been given to you. So the word imagination from the Hebrew, has this thought with it. It means to shape or to form. So thoughts in the original Hebrew language speak of forming or shaping. So the Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the ground or the dust of the earth. So when God formed man, where did he exist before he made him? He existed in the mind of God. So God had a thought about making a man. So he formed man from the ground. And the Bible said he breathed life into him. We're in the image of God. And so Genesis 2:7, New Living says, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed breath into him, and the life, breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. So man existed in the thoughts of God before he was physically formed. What we see existed in the thoughts of man's creator, or the creator of all of us. So we were a thought in the mind of God before we ever were here. So let me give you an example here. Let's take like the potter. You know, we talk about, we sing about the potter and the clay, and that's used in the Bible. You know, the potter is a person who makes, these jars and you know, vases and so on, and he's on this machine and he creates this whatever he's making there, like a vase or whatever, and a pot. And when you think about the pot, before the pot was ever in existence, this was in the thought of man. It was in the mind of a man who made it, the potter, who shaped that, and he thought about, this is what it's going to look like, so I'm going to shape it, and so on. He made it because of his thought. So this gives us an example, a proof of the existence come from the mind of the Creator. So thoughts have a potential of being created or something that exists before. So thoughts are spiritual. That's what we're trying to say. So when we think of thoughts, they're spiritual. They come from God or come from the devil. So thoughts aren't insignificant. Thoughts are endeavoring to shape your life into something that whoever is trying to shape your life. We can have thoughts of evil, failure, poverty, death. And there are good thoughts of life and health, holiness, deliverance, prosperity, and success, and so on. There's power in thoughts. Some thoughts raise your blood pressure. Some thoughts, thrill you. Just get excited. Some people get so excited about something, they'll almost faint because they're thinking about something. Some thoughts can lower your blood pressure. Some thoughts can calm you, make you be at peace. You know, when you teach people about how to control their anxiety, control their worry, the Bible also teaches that to learn how to think right and learn how to control your thinking. And so we need to learn how to do that. And so thoughts can shape or form your life. The devil wants to rob you. He wants to terrify you about your future and try to make you to do things or make decisions that are not based on the will of God. And so the devil wants to rob you. He wants to steal your future that God has designed. God has a thought about your future and what he wants to do with your life. So, now, you can be transformed right now. Let's go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So God said you can change according to this scripture, that you can have a brighter future, you can change your situation, position, and place where you are right now, if we put God's thoughts into our mind to shape our future, to shape us so that we can fit into that future, that what God holds for us in his mind. See, God has a mind, and he thinks something towards you right now. God, if we can just get into the mind of God by getting into the Word of God and getting to with the Holy Spirit and begin to see what God sees for us, We can change. So putting God's thoughts in our mind will stop, or excuse me, will shape our future. It can stop the devil's, he wants to stop you. Let's go to Proverbs 23:7 here. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, as said he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Let me just read some of the beginning of this verse of scripture, because, I was looking at the scripture today to think, okay, we always use the scripture, eat and as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That we use that scripture and say, yeah, as a man thinks, that's what he is. Well, that's true for all of us. But there's something more to this. I want to read the previous verse of scripture to get the whole central thought of this, and that it says here, Proverbs 23:6 and then end verse 7. Eat thou not the bread of him that had an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. You know, somebody talks about dainties around here over the last few years. But we'll get to that soon. But as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he said to thee, but his heart is not with thee. In other words, here's someone who says one thing, but in his heart, it's a whole lot of different. It's a whole lot different than what he says. So he's not really with you. He's telling you eat, but he wants to kill you, or he doesn't want you to enjoy his dainties because you're eating all his food. So a man really is what he is in his heart and mind. That's what he's talking about. So if a guy somebody can just say on the surface, he can say what he wants, but is that really what he wants in his heart for you? You know, somebody can cheer you on, but on the inside, they want you to fail. So that guy, that person is who he is in his heart or in his mind about what he thinks about you. And so you, on the other hand, are what you think you are. You might say one thing, but then you are feeling and thinking another way. And the only way you can change that is by putting the Word of God in your heart. And so is with everybody else. So, amen, the man, is thinking the way he's not, what he's verbally saying, his verbiage is not consistent the way he's thinking or the way he feels about this guy. So you become consistently what you think about. Refuse to think like the world thinks, but think like God thinks. And you're going to be on your way to changing your future. So a brighter future will come your way as soon as you shape your thoughts the way God wants you to think. Romans 12:2 again says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What about it? That you may prove, and what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. There is a perfect place for us to be. God has a perfect plan for us, where we should be, where we can enjoy life a whole lot better than what we are now. Stop complaining about where you are and get into the Bible, get into the thoughts of God, and start thinking about what He thinks about you. And get into that, and your life is going to take on a new meaning and a new excitement ahead for you. Now, Romans 12:2 talks about transformed. That word transformed, where we get the word metamorphosis from the Greek language. And it means changing from the inside out. That's either in your spirit and in your mind, by changing your mind. Changing from the inside out. Like it gives us a picture of a butterfly, a caterpillar, from a caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. I love caterpillars too. They look pretty good, some of them. Some of them look pretty scary, but a butterfly is a whole lot better. Looks a whole lot better. So where do thoughts come from? Isaiah 55:8 says this, the New Living Translation, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. So God does think about you. He thinks about something a whole lot different than you think about life. And don't you think that your thoughts are better than His? Because they're not. It's a whole lot lower than what God thinks about you. He says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. So God himself is saying, I have a higher thought situation about your future than you do. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. In other words, your wildest imagination. Here, Isaiah 55:8 says, he says, my ways are beyond anything you could imagine. You see the same scripture over there in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 20, says that God can do far more than you could ever imagine. That's one thing about it he says in there. He says about prayer and thinking as well, but he's got a whole lot of another way of thinking about your life. So what's on your mind today? God's thoughts should be dominating our mind, not the devil's thoughts that bring you down, bringing fear in your life. Is your own thoughts pure? Are they powerful thoughts about your future? Are they wonderful, beautiful thoughts? Or are they negative? Are they fearful? Are bringing you fear right now? Is thinking about your future, is it bringing you fear right now? So that's not coming from God. Failure, that's not coming from God. Death, that's not coming from God. And so we have to think God's thoughts so that we can rise up beyond the where we are right now to shape our future. So thoughts are spiritual. They're spiritual in nature. They're from God. They're from God's thoughts or the devil. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9 says this. Now, I'm reading the New Living. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. That's something that you do. Fix your thoughts. Now, God's not going to come and physically grab you and shake you and to tell you to change your thoughts. No, it tells you to do something about your thoughts. It's like he said over there to the Romans, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about these things. In other words, he's telling you to think about these things. You have to purposely think about what you've been thinking about. Are you thinking about these things? Are you thinking about something else? Think about the things that are excellent, worthy of praise, and keep putting into practice what you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from and saw in me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. See, a lot of people want the peace of God, but they won't change their mind. They won't change their thought life. Peace is going to come to you when you start changing your mind. The Bible says, I believe it's Isaiah 26:3, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on him. So we fix our thoughts on God. Soon as a thought comes, for me now, I just reject it and said, no, I don't think about that. I don't believe that. I said it to myself. I said, here's what I think. I think on this. I think about this lovely thought. I have long life. I am successful. I am prosperous. I am strong. I am healthy. I am whole. You know, I am favored by God. I have the grace of God. I've been empowered by God. That's what I think. I don't have fear. I don't let fear allow to control my life any further. I would think about that. You know, I just get afraid sometimes. You know, thoughts would come racing to me, and I didn't know how to control those thoughts. But now I know how to control them. I said, no, I don't receive that. I don't care how I'm feeling. I don't care how this thought shook me for this few minutes. I said, nope, all that thought has to go. And it changes. Believe me, it does. I used to have a great anxiety attack. I was world champion anxiety guy for many, many years straight. And, I was not going to pass that on to my family. And my family never, they don't ever see me. My kids don't ever see me. Dad's worried. He's worried sick. He's not eating tonight because he's worried. No, I don't get no worry. I gave up worry and being afraid of it, of things, because the Bible says I will fear no evil. So I don't fear no evil. Do I ever feel afraid of evil? Sure, but I don't accept it. I don't receive it. Hallelujah, amen. So when God Thoughts come to you. What happens in your life? I'll tell you what happens. You get excited about things. You get excited about life. You just get empowered, and you want to sing and dance, and you want to kiss everybody. That's what happens. And you want to be generous. You know, generous people just give stuff away all the time. People who think about the devil, they want to keep everything. They want to hide all their dollar bills. Make sure, you know, they have some for the bad day that's coming. So what happens when God's thoughts come? They become your thoughts. Psalm 92:5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works? Thy thoughts are very deep. Psalm 92:5, the Amplified says, how great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep beyond man's understanding. You know, when you start thinking about God's thoughts, you can't believe it almost in the natural, because it's too wonderful. It's just all, you know, this, you know, like I think about the creation of God. I mean, it just blows me apart when I think about, how God, awesome God is. Just, you know, wow, he's awesome. He's far beyond my understanding. So I don't try to figure God out, because he's awesome. God's thoughts will excite us. He will excite us, because his thoughts are beyond us, beyond whatever we can think about. God's thoughts can change our life today. One word from God can change a life. It's beyond your borders of your mind. You know, it blows away your own little thinking. It goes beyond your thinking, far beyond. It's so deep and so vast, you can't even think about it. Don't allow your natural thoughts to limit you. You are not limited by what you think. Who told you that you're limited by your own thoughts? God told that to Israel many, many times. Read it in the Bible. You know, they said in Numbers chapter 13, he says, you know, in the latter chapter, there's 31, 32 around there, he says, you know, when God says, go and take the land, he says, oh, we can't take the land. The city that we're going to capture, or we're going to try to capture, is huge. You got huge walls. Huge walls. Plus the people we saw there, huge, big people. What does God want to do with us? Kill us? You know, I think about this sometimes. You know, God will give you a minister a vision, but they don't, you know, they think they have to do it on their own puny little cash they have. No, God has better cash. He's got ways that we don't know about. And so do not be afraid to step out. Yea, says the Lord. Get beyond the borders of your mind and learn to step out in the open space of the Word of God and get beyond the borders of your mind, far away, and get the peace of God that passes all understanding, and you begin to step in a new realm. Praise God. Amen? That's the way it is. Glory to God. So God's thoughts can change us. Now, Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18 says this, the King James Version. How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. So the Bible says God's thoughts are so vast. Just like the number, the sand in this, on the, you know, on the ground. They're so, the sand is, and you can't count the sand. That's God's thoughts about you right now. He doesn't think one way. There's only one way we can solve this problem, or even three ways. No, there's more ways. God has more ways to solve your problem. Give your head a shake and learn to let God change your mind. So, watch this. What does God think about you when he looks at you? Jeremiah 29:11. Now, you have to remember about the history of Jeremiah 29:11. These people were in captivity in Babylon. They're captured, man. They're slaves. They don't own themselves. They have nothing. They went back into captivity there. And, they're having a bad time. But you might be having a bad time. But God says, your past doesn't determine your future. Watch this. He says, I know the thoughts I have, I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace Not of evil, to give you an expected, and it says that some verses says, to give you a future and a plan, a purpose. That's what God sees when he looks at you. He sees a beautiful future. Although you're in a land of exile, although you're in a land of having a hard time, barely getting along, a time of scarcity and the pain and agony maybe perhaps, God says, I'm giving you a hope and a future. When God looks at you, he sees nothing but peace, nothing but hope. But if you look around your own self, you say, man, this is not peace. This is not hope. But listen to me. God has a way beyond the way you can think about things right now. He has ways past finding out about your natural self. Now, I want to show you something. Let me just read Jeremiah 29, verse 9 and 10. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus said the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing them to return to this place. So God's giving them a good word that, hey, this is going to change. Now we need to embrace his word that I don't care what's going on in your life. Let's begin to see, you know, this is a type and shadow. Although you might be having a hard time, you can change if you change your mind. So what happens when you think on God's thoughts? Well, you know, when God's thoughts become your thoughts. Let's go here. What happens when God's thoughts get a hold of you, and you embrace the thoughts and it becomes your thoughts? What will happen ahead of you when you start embracing the way of God thinks about you? Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, the King James Version says this: meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. For in thy profiting, that day thy profiting may appear to all. Now watch this. Meditate. That's talking about thinking about the things of God. Meditate on these things. He's telling him to meditate on the things that God was directing this young Timothy to think about. Watch this. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. That's the thinking of God. That your profiting may appear to all. In other words, the thought that God spiritually puts inside you will begin to manifest in your profiting, where everyone will see that this thought will begin to take shape and begin to conform and change your life. And everyone will begin to see that because you embrace the thoughts of God, your profiting, the change in your life will be dynamic. It'll be changed forever. Praise God. As you meditate upon these, immerse yourself totally in God's thoughts daily. If you have to, every minute by minute, if you have to. When I'm going through a hard time, I just make sure I grab a few scriptures and I think about them, I talk about them to myself, and I say, this is what God's word says. I'm hanging on to these things, although I feel like I'm falling apart and I'm afraid, but I'm going to hang on to these things. And God brings you through. And you know, every time you do that, you get stronger and stronger and stronger again. So he says here, notice this, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is the counsel of the ungodly? Their thoughts that are outside God's thinking. Their thoughts foreign to the ways of heaven and the kingdom of God. They're surely not God's ways. But blessed is the man. The Bible says blessed means we are envied because we are prospering and succeeding. Blessed is the man. You're going to succeed when you don't take the counsel and conform to the ways of the ungodly. You do not walk, stand, or sit in the ungodly with the ungodly people. Here it says here, I want you to see something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. We're coming to the end here. I want you to see something. I saw this the other night. A minister that I know put this on their Facebook and trying to help people, but, you know, just trying to encourage them to look ahead, that there's better things ahead. But they were not, in one sense, they were not giving them help because they were giving it from a negative standpoint that, yeah, you're not going to enjoy something here, but one day you will in the sweet by and by. But no, we need to enjoy things right now. We need victory right now. It says here, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says there, King James, but as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. In other words, and they stop right there. Verse 9, oh, God has something wonderful for us, but we can never know them. One day we'll know them. But right now, we just have to accept the fact that we can't know them, we can't see them. But one day, we have hope that one day we're going to enjoy the wonderful blessings of God. But no, they camp around that scripture and build a wall around it. And they rejoice that someday they're going to enjoy a good life. But no, my brother and sister. Watch this. Verse 10 says, but God had revealed them to us. Reveal what? The things that God had prepared for them. God revealed them to us by His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, who is inside of us. For the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. The Bible says, we just finished reading in Psalm, God's thoughts are so deep, vast, beyond our imaginations. So don't let your imagination stop you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1, verse 1. So as we said, blessed means empowered to prosper, empowered to succeed. There are places where we shouldn't walk and stand and sit in this life. You need to remove yourself from those places, because it'll shape your life into defeat and failure. And we have to follow what the Word of God says. You know, in 1984, the Lord visited me in my home. I was laying in bed, and the Lord spoke to me. Supernaturally came in there, talked to me, and said to me, you are successful. And I didn't know what He was talking about. I had no money, no car. My home, my life was wrecked from all the bad decisions I made. Now I was a born-again Christian. But the Holy Spirit came in and talked to me. And He said, you see that Bible? Grab the Bible there, read the Bible, and go to Psalm chapter 1. So I read chapter 1. So this is life to me. And the Lord said to me, everything you do will be a success. Everything you touch is going to be successful. Everything you decide to do, when I ask you to do it, you'll never fail at it. What would you do? We had an exercise in college. What would you do if you knew you could never fail at it? Well, God's telling you this right here. There are places we shouldn't walk. There are places we shouldn't sit. There are places we shouldn't, stand, because they ain't with God. We're going to stand with God. We're going to walk with God. We're going to sit with God in heavenly places and be successful. Verse 2 and 3 says, as we finish here, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. Well, how do you meditate? You close your eyes, fold your arms, and just hum and say, No, that's not meditating. Meditating is this, is reading the Bible. Reading on one scripture out loud to yourself over and over, a scripture that you need in the time and the season. Maybe it's on finances. Maybe it's about children. Maybe it's about healing. And you read that one scripture over and over until it becomes a part of you on the inside and becomes real to you. And it raises your excitement level. Oh, you're excited because you see a future that you never saw before with your own mind. And so it changes your mind. He says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water when you meditate. That brings forth fruit in the season. And whatever you shall do, you will prosper. That, my friend, is a wonderful word for the day. I believe it's a timely message, something you need to hear. Do not be afraid. Listen, you have a future that's brighter than anything that you can ever imagine. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for everyone that's watching right now. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of the devil over every mind and heart that's yielding to you right now. I break the power of Satan over your mind in the name of Jesus. And Lord, pour out that oil upon them. The anointing of God to heal their mind and heal their body and make their emotions begin to well up with joy. Hallelujah. For a better future is waiting for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.